Father again to honor you. You are the Lord of heaven and earth, and you are enthroned in the praises of your people. We thank you for your presence that we have felt and experienced since the beginning of this conference. And thank you for the various ways that you have spoken to us. Lord, I ask that in this brief moment, Lord, enable me to deliver that which you have for your people. I yield myself to the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. This morning I want to speak on the theme of this conference, and specifically I'll be speaking on strategic collaboration for kingdom expansion. And I'll take my scripture reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I'll read from verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. Woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I recently learned about a very special tree called the redwood tree. The redwood tree is known to be the tallest tree on earth. In fact, they grow up to 350 feet. And some of them actually have lived for up to 2,000 years. Some are big enough for even a vehicle to drive through their trunk. And I'm sure probably there are people here who have visited the national park in California. And you may have seen practically that these trees, these living trees, are that big at the base that a vehicle can go through them. The unique thing about the redwood tree is that you would expect that a tree of that height and that size would have root as deep as its height. Usually in trees, the depth of the root is directly proportional to the height of the tree. For instance, if you see a 20-foot oak tree, it is likely to have 20-foot taproot. But it is different for the redwood tree. The redwood tree, as tall and as massive as it is, only goes to about 5 to 15 feet. So what is the secret? The secret is simply this, that the redwood tree has a unique root system. What it does is to connect with all the other redwood trees around. The roots are so intertwined that the tree, even though it may not have the depth that is required for a tree of that size, it is able to withstand the storms. It is able to withstand the waves. It is able to stand when other trees around it is falling, simply because of the nature of the root. By connecting with one another, by each tree intertwining with other trees, the redwood tree stands for so many hundreds of years, even when other trees are falling apart, simply because it has learned how to connect with other trees. It has learned how to collaborate with other trees that are around it. And not only does it help it to remain stable in the midst of the storms and the waves, it is also a means of nutrient exchange. What it lacks is supplied by all the other trees around. So the red tree is a lesson for us to consider. I think there is something instructive about this tree that we need to think about even as we continue in this conference. The redwood tree never stands alone. It has learned to connect with others. And this is very instructive to us, even as people who serve in the kingdom. We have probably heard it that we are stronger together. Let it not just be a cliche, but let it be something that every one of us is convinced about, that we are stronger together. And that's what's in the heart of the Lord Jesus. That's what we see in his priestly prayer in John chapter 17 from verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. As we look at the Godhead, we find a lot of cooperation. From the beginning of the Bible to the end, we find the Trinity working in concert. And that's the mind of Christ for his body, that we also work together as one body with one goal, and that's the kingdom of God. As we also look at the New Testament, we find that one of the most recurrent phrases in the New Testament is one another. Love one another. Forgive one another. Bear with one another. In fact, over 60 times in the New Testament, we find that word, that phrase, one another. That tells us the mind of the Lord for his body. And we saw that in the way that the early church lived, there was a lot of collaboration from Acts of the Apostles, and that was the secret of the growth and the rapid expansion of the church, the early church, because they worked together, they collaborated with one another. I know that in the course of, I think it was at the opening ceremony that I had Dr. Jason say, that it's been proven that there's a synergy between prayer and missions. And I believe that that is well illustrated in the story I want to share with us. And that is from Exodus chapter 18 from verse 8. This was the first battle that Israel faced as they departed from the promised land. They were attacked by the Amalekites. The Amalekites attacked from the rear. And if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 25, 17 to 18, it talks about the strategy of the Amalekites. From the rear, those who were weak, the stragglers, they attacked them. Moses instructed or directed Joshua to mobilize the army. Mobilize, I suppose, he was mobilizing the youths to go to this battle. Then Moses did something. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the mountain. And from verse 11 we read, and so it was, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Here, I want us to see collaboration. And I see collaboration at two levels in this story. Vertical collaboration and horizontal collaboration. For horizontal collaboration to be effective, there must be vertical collaboration, especially when it has to do with the kingdom. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the hill. Now, I don't know whether there was a consultation before he did that. But Moses, I imagine that as Moses was going up, Aaron and Hur also decided to go with him. And he didn't just go alone, he went with the symbol of God's presence. Because earlier in Exodus chapter 3, it's been revealed that that rod became the rod of God. So as he went up the hill, he lifted that rod to heaven, as it were, to show graphically a connection between where they were standing and heaven. There was a vertical collaboration between these three and heaven. And as a result of that, what was happening right there on the field was affected, because where there is a smooth divine, I mean, collaboration with heaven, then of course we will see the effect in our work. Whatever we do, we will see that. But where there is a ceiling, where there is a blockage, it doesn't matter what we do. When there is no blessing from heaven, we may put in all our efforts, but they will amount to little. And that's why one of our responsibilities as leaders is to ensure that we are living with an open heaven. Open heaven in the sense that there is no barrier between us and heaven. There is nothing. If we go to Isaiah chapter 59 from verse 1, the Bible tells us that God's ears are not deaf, his hands are not short, but something has come in to block our access to heaven, to prevent us from having the answers to our prayer. But let's just note this, that whenever we have vertical collaboration, we will see the result right there in the field in whatever we do. And that's what happened. Joshua was out there fighting the Amalekites. As a result of the synchronization of this hill, this tree, and heaven, there was victory on the field. The other thing I want us to also see here is generational collaboration. When we see Moses, Moses must have been about 80 by this time. Oh, sure he was. Aaron, older than Moses, at least three years older than Moses, must have been at least 83. And if, as Josephus said, that Hur was actually Miriam's husband, then Paul must also be over 80. So we have a generation of over 80s. And when we consider the age of Joshua when he died, 110, at this time, Joshua was 45 years old. So relatively, Joshua represented the younger generation. Joshua was a youth. Moses, Aaron, and Hur belonged to the older generation. So there was a collaboration between the older generation and the younger generation. And we have seen that emphasized in this conference. All of last night, we saw the children. And the emphasis is that now there should be collaboration across the different generations. And I believe that that is what God is particularly doing in this time that we're living, so that the work of the kingdom can be accomplished. After the victory, Moses erected an altar and he called it Yahweh Nissi, or as we call it here, Jehovah Nissi. I believe that that altar was a statement, an eternal statement, established that this is the pattern that results in victory. The pattern that leads to the expansion of the work of God. That whenever the vertical collaboration is right, and then the horizontal collaboration is also right, that what we have is success, what we have is victory, whether it is in the work of the kingdom, or whether it is in business, or whatever. God established a pattern. And that's what altars basically do in the scriptures. They memorialize something that happened at one point or the other. So, we see that in the story of the battle of Rephidim. For there to be collaboration, there needs to be a willingness to collaborate. It is possible to be here, and it is possible to hear all that's been said about collaboration, but there is no willingness, because people still want to just stay in their corner, stay in their top. But for there to be collaboration, there must be willingness. And then also, we must be united by a goal. And for us, the goal is the expansion of the kingdom. We must be united under the banner of the Lord Jesus, the Lordship of Jesus, the gospel of the kingdom, and the kingdom of God itself. I believe that these are things that can unite us, that can be the goal. And if you're pursuing that, and I'm pursuing that, then we can collaborate. And all it results in is synergy, the growth of the kingdom, because we are united. And then, very important, if we are to collaborate, then we need to make conscious efforts to break down the walls. The walls must be down. Earlier on, I talked about the roof. The heaven has to be open. But also, in terms of collaboration, the walls that isolate us, that separate us from one another, the walls must come down. And for us in Africa, there are several barriers. Sometimes it is easier for people from the nations of Africa to collaborate with the Western nations than amongst ourselves. Some of these differences are historical. They come probably from our history, colonial history. For instance, in West Africa, there is difficulty in collaboration between the Anglophone and the Francophone. These barriers, linguistic barrier, cultural barriers, they are there in Africa. So for us to collaborate, for it to be effective, and for it to have impact in resulting in kingdom expansion, then we need to make deliberate effort to let these walls come down. And I need to say also, that in most cultures, there is a wall between the older generation and the younger generation. And that prevents collaboration to happen between these two generations. There is a story, another story in the Bible that I believe illustrates what happens when we fail to collaborate. It is in Judges chapter 18. Judges chapter 18, we find a story about the Danites who were looking for a territory. They sent out spies who went to a particular land called Lish. From Judges chapter 18, I'll read verse 7 from the NIV. It says, "So the five men left and came to Lish, where they saw that the people were living in safety." I'm reading from the New International Version. "Like the Sidonians, unsuspecting and secure. And since their land lacked nothing, they were prosperous. Also, they lived a long way from the Sidonians and had no relationship with anyone else." In verse 27 of the same scripture, it says, "Now the Danites attacked them." And then this is the result. "Then they took what Micah had made and his priests and went on to Lish against a peaceful and unsuspecting people. They attacked them with the sword and burned down their city. There was no one to rescue them because they lived a long way from Sidon and had no relationship with anyone else. The city was in a valley near Beth Rehob. The Danites rebuilt the city and settled there." What a tragic story. They were a prosperous people. And sometimes there is an illusion that wealth can create to make us think that we don't need anyone else. And that was probably their problem. Things were going right for them. They didn't see any need for a relationship with anyone else. They were isolated, very distant from the next nation to them, the next city to them. So it was that when they were attacked, there was no one to defend them. There was no one to come to their aid because they had no relationship with anyone else. The Danites, few in number, just 600 warriors, went in there and conquered them. There was no one to help. We need to pay attention to the matter of isolation. Because sometimes when our ministry is thriving, we have a temptation to build a tough, an enclave, and then we'll have nothing to do with anyone else. That was the problem with these people. And we know that the predator always goes for the Lone Ranger. The predator always. In Africa here, we have the lions. And I'm sure some of our brethren from East Africa can testify to this. That what the lion does is first of all to look out for the Lone Ranger and then goes after the Lone Ranger. And for these people, there was no one to come to their aid. Now, strategic collaboration presupposes that we don't wait until trouble comes before we collaborate. And this is the problem. That when it is rosy and it's smooth, we don't see any need for a relationship. But then when trouble comes, then we begin to look for people to collaborate with. And sometimes it is late. The word strategic means that we are looking ahead into the future to collaborate. So, we need to prepare for the evil day, because it happens to everyone. Every ministry experiences it. And that's what we find in Ephesians chapter 6. That we prepare for the evil day. And that's the essence of strategic collaboration. That when that day comes, like the redwood tree, when the storms come, when the waves come, when others are falling apart, we are able to stand. Even when there are, resources are not available, we are still able to survive because we are receiving reinforcement from relationships that we have established before the problems come. We have a lot to learn from the world. I'm sure that many people here will agree with me that what is keeping Ukraine standing today is because of collaboration. If there wasn't that level of collaboration, this nation probably would have ceased to exist. If the world is doing it, if trees are even doing it, I think we should do it more in the kingdom. Thank you. The Lord bless you.